remained with him under the trees up the hill. The infidel soldiers were surrounded. His collection of Afghanis and foreign jihadis, some from Saudi, some from the battles in Chechnya and southern Dagestan, and a few others from as far as Copenhagen, Berlin, and other parts of Europe, could only imagine what was going through the minds of those inside the little air-conditioned boxes. But he knew how they thought. He knew how different the Australians were from the exuberant, brash Americans. The Australian SAS soldiers would be amped up in there. They'd be sweating and swearing quietly. But they'd be falling back on their training, calm, professional. He had played cricket with boys just like them. He'd stolen bicycles and cars with them. He'd fought with them, laughed with them, played practical jokes with them. He'd done all the usual things that preoccupy boys who grew up in the rough end of Greenacre, Lakemba, and Punchbowl in Sydney's western suburbs. When he was a boy, he'd even liked some of them. But he'd never been one of them. In the last few years, he'd made it his mission to kill as many of them as he could. And now, he was going to send them a message.
Fuck. Mick Harrison was the first to realise they'd been ambushed. In the last few missions, they deliberately set themselves up as ambush targets, luring the Talibs to fight only for them to discover they were the ones surrounded. An easy trick for a while. But the Taliban had got smart on the double ambush and had done their homework. There were no tricks now. It had been Harrison and Aaron Wappington's turn to ride with the Americans in one of the heavily armoured Humvees today. They were in the lead vehicle, followed by the two Bushmasters and another heavily armoured Humvee bringing up the rear.
"The cunts have got us caught,"
Wappo said from the other side of the dual cab, just as rocket-propelled grenades and bullet rounds started raining in on them. A huge explosion seemed to suck the oxygen out of the air and then blow it back, like standing too close to the side of the road as a B-double road train roared past. Outside, a ferocious whirlwind of shrapnel blew through the convoy. One of the vehicles had either taken a big hit or run into an IED. The Humvee's American driver, Big Jim, was wrestling with the lumbering vehicle, trying to move it into a defensive position. He couldn't see much and he was starting to panic. A round hit the Yank patrol commander next to Jim as the comms shrieked to life. The American attack controller in the other Hummer was calling in airstrikes. Everything was moving fast. Harrison armed himself with an 84mm rocket launcher and scrambled out. Someone needed to get an eye on where the fire was coming from and hit back. One of the Bushmasters must have taken the hit. The second Hummer had pulled alongside and the soldier in the front gun turret was cutting crazy with a 7.62 caliber machine gun, firing all over the place, making a lot of noise, but shooting at nothing. Wappo tumbled out after Harrison with a 60mm mortar, just as a volley of heavy machine gun fire strafed his position. Some of it hit the mark. Big Jim slumped across the steering wheel. He wouldn't live. Behind him, his commander was screaming as blood poured from what was left of his left leg. Harrison moved beside the bulk of the Hummer, which was giving him and Wappo some cover. Most of the fire was coming from behind the pickup truck they'd had to negotiate their way past a few minutes earlier, but they were also taking fire from the steep verge above them that ran along one side of the road. Harrison took a bead on the pickup and let a round from his rocket launcher loose. It blew the front off the vehicle. Shrapnel and black smoke flew into the sky as the fuel tank erupted in another suctioned whoosh of noise and chaos. It was answered almost immediately with more machine gun rounds and RPGs. Shrapnel and bullets bounced off the vehicles and screamed past him, kicking up dust, a frenzied hail of sharp-edged metal. Harrison and Wappo had known each other a long time. Combat to them was now second nature. They knew when they were in trouble. They were in trouble now. An F-18 roared overhead and unleashed a burst of fire into the Taliban position behind the pickup. The Yank calling the directions must have given the pilot a good lock because the strike shut the storm down for a good few minutes. Then the plane peeled off. Mission over. More would come soon, surely, but this one had at least given Harrison and Wappo enough time to get better cover and survey the wreckage. The two Bushmasters had taken direct hits. It didn't look like anyone could have lived. Inside each armoured vehicle were five of their own, mates. Blokes they'd trained with for years and fought alongside on this rotation for the past 6 months. That was war. They drill you for it. They give you the counselling. But you never get over it. Losing your friends. Never. Now wasn't the time to dwell on it, though.